This is Jay Sekulo. The Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas tells the United States, keep your expletive deleted money.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulo.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Well, the weekend started, over with, and now we get the surprise of the morning, because there's always a surprise in the morning or afternoon. And here's what we've got. Mahmoud Abbas, in response to the move of the United States recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, blast the administration and the Israelis, said the so-called Oslo Accords are dead, which, by the way, those have been dead for about 20 years, and then says, blank your money, an expletive deleted there, talking about what the United States can do with its money. In other words, we have said that if they don't get to the table, they're not going to get our money. By the way, so the Palestinian Authority leader, Mahmoud Abbas, who says, you know, expletive deleted your money, keep your blank money. How do you feel about that? You know what I think? Keep our money. Sounds pretty good to me. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Posturing going on here, Jordan, as in fact Mahmoud Abbas is only allowed to stay in power because of the Israelis. Who are we kidding?
Yeah, so this was at a gathering of the Palestinian Liberation Organization Central Council, so they're kind of like their political meeting. It was a two-hour-long speech by Mahmoud Abbas, where he said the U.S. will no longer be able to be a mediator between the Palestinian peace process. He refuses to meet with the U.S. ambassador to Israel and made a sexist comment about Nikki Haley in response to her remarks about Jerusalem as Israel's capital at the United Nations. He said, quote, I hope she hears me. Our reaction will be worse, but not with high heels. So, I mean, this was probably, and of course the language about U.S. money, which I think is the focus, but the most defiant, direct speech we've seen from a Palestinian leader outside of the Hamas leadership in probably decades.
It's as strong as it can be.
This you just don't see coming out of the West Bank side of the Palestinian leadership.
Yeah, well, we are at a fateful moment of history, Mahmoud Abbas says. If we lose Jerusalem, which they don't have, by the way, what do you want to do? Have a state with Abu Dis as its capital? That's what they're offering Abu Dis, which, by the way, is right next to Jerusalem. So the point of the matter is, and I want to be very clear in here, the Palestinian Authority leader is saying, keep your money, America. How about if we say, okay, we're going to keep our money and see what that does? We'll take your calls. And I want to know what your reaction to all this is. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Skip Ash, our senior counsel at the ACLJ in charge of our international law group. Skip, your reaction to this.
Oh, I think it's what should be expected from a boss. You know, his people cheered at 9/11 when the towers came down in New York City and the Pentagon was attacked. They have never been for us. They have been taking our money. They have been disingenuous the entire time. They do not seek peace except a peace with Israel dead and gone. That's the only peace they want. And now we're coming back to make them pay for those positions, and they don't like it.
We will not accept the U.S. as mediator. Well, then good. Don't accept our money either. He says that, by the way. Do you actually think they mean it? I don't. But I want to know, this is taxpayer money. Donald Trump has said, if the Palestinians aren't willing to negotiate, we're going to stop the money. A lot of people have been calling that for decades. And he acknowledged that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which is in not such a hard thing to conclude because that's what the Israelis, the sovereign, has designated. I want to know your reaction to all of this at 1-800-684-3110 with this simple question. You want us to keep the money? We should still give it to them after they say this. 1-800-684-3110. Logan?
That's right. You can also join us online, Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulo. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulo, broadcasting live there right now. But once again, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard today.
Also, your work supporting the ACLJ makes a big difference. We're going to be in the Supreme Court of the United States tomorrow on a pro-life case, filing our brief there. We'll talk more about that a little bit later in the broadcast. But again, ACLJ.org. And if you want to talk to us on air, I want to know your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Reminiscent of Fidel Castro, Mahmoud Abbas gives a two-hour speech in Ramallah at the West Bank, saying that the United States can expletive deleted your money, keep your money expletive deleted, is what he called that money. By the way, they don't mind taking the $355 million a year. That just includes, by the way, that's just what we give directly. Doesn't include another $700 million we give through the United Nations, $1 billion a year, basically. We will not accept the U.S. to be a mediator because after what they have done to us, that was declaring Jerusalem the capital of Israel. The deal of the century is a slap in the face. And Mahmoud Abbas says Israel has also killed Oslo. So let me go to Skip Ash on this, our senior counsel. So let's first give a real quick summary of what Oslo is and why, the fact, Oslo has been dead for about 20 years now.
Well, Oslo was the agreement that was put together where there was going to be a series of steps that were going to ultimately lead to peace. The idea was to reintroduce the Palestinians into certain areas of territory that was controlled by Israel in the West Bank and Gaza Strip primarily. And step by step, as they assumed responsibilities, they could act in a way that was responsible. Israelis then would give them more authority. They never stepped up to the plate and did that right. And the other thing was that the whole idea was that certain key issues, like the boundaries of a future Palestinian state, the status of Jerusalem, the status of settlements, the status of the return of the Palestinian refugees, were all to be resolved via bilateral negotiations. And that was the only way they were to be resolved. And the Palestinians have never once attempted to do it by negotiating with Israel. They have always tried to either go to the UN or to other powers to put pressure on Israel to concede, but they never make any concessions. And that's where the problem is. Israel has stepped up to the plate, has done everything. In fact, you've discussed many times on this program the fact that from Yasser Arafat on, they could have had 98%
right
of what they were asking for, and they wouldn't accept it.
No, they didn't
so
want
they've
it.
Had, they've
they
had
don't want peace.
Right. They're not ready for it. They don't know how to do it. They don't have the institutions. And they have created such a hostility in their own population that if they were to ever sue for peace and achieve peace, they would probably be killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we're talking about, you know, the constant complaining on finances. So I think to put that at risk and to call on a president who would be willing probably to pull that funding and let them feel the pain of not getting funding from the United States. And by the way, it would not just be the $350 million or so dollars that go directly to the Palestinian Authority, directly to Mahmoud Abbas's entity in the West Bank from the United States. What if we pull the other $350 million that goes to the UN, a refugee and works agency?
$750 million.
Yeah.
A year.
So you pull all of that, And guess what happens to Mahmoud Abbas? I don't think he survives. I mean, life. I don't think he survives because the groups that would come in would be the more radical groups to provide support to the people. There wouldn't be attacks on Israel, by the way. There'd be internal strife because the people can't eat. They can't carry out terrorist attacks on an independent country. They'd be carrying terrorist attacks out on themselves.
Let's go ahead, Logan, and either take a call or a comment. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Donna on line 4 in Rhode Island. Donna, you're on the air.
Hey, Donna, go ahead.
Hi, I was wondering why we're even giving the Arabs that kind of money.
Well, it's not the Arabs. It's the Palestinian Authority, and it was a development to help them develop a independent state. But this has been going on for 50 years, and it's produced nothing. And, in fact, the Palestinian Authority is in a coalition government with the Hamas, who's calling for Israel's destruction. So this whole underlying rationale, the foundation for all of this, is fundamentally incorrect. I mean, it isn't real. And what you have happening right now, and I think it's really important for the audience to understand this, is when Mahmoud Abbas makes his statement about keep your expletive deleted money, what they're really saying is a hyperbole because they want the money. They don't survive without the money. And the fact is they're never going to recognize Israel because they don't want peace. Now, I think we should make all the overtures necessary that we can to try to get the parties to the table. But the Israelis have agreed to give them 99% of what Yasser Arafat wanted, and he wouldn't take it. Why would he not take it? Because it appears they don't want a deal. By the way, that doesn't mean the Palestinian people don't want a deal. This is a governmental move on their part, right, Skip? I mean, this is the corruption of the Palestinian authorities, not the Palestinians themselves.
Right. The Palestinians have been so poorly led from the very beginning. Yeah. They have leaders who are out for themselves, who are out to win money for themselves. When Yasser Arafat died, they couldn't find the billions and billions of dollars that he had put in private bank accounts. They were trying to get them back from his wife, who declined to do that. So this has been one big way of the Palestinian leadership feathering their own nests, and the money seldom gets down to the people who need it. And they've been poorly led, and yet they keep electing. When they do have elections, they keep electing these bad leaders. So I can't totally take the fault away from the population, too, because they keep right. electing very bad people.
But remember, they use this money to then pay families that their kids or their fathers or sons become terrorist bombers. They name streets after them. They get a life pension, and we're helping fund that. So the president of the United States has said we're not doing that anymore. And I think, you know what? Why are these not valid preconditions? Why not say you've got to recognize Israel's right to exist? They don't even want to have that as a precondition to negotiations. I mean, that's what's so, unbelievably absurd here.
Well, they actually go further to say that it's a total myth that the promise of a promised land to Israel. This is quoting Mahmoud Abbas from the speech this weekend to the Palestinian Liberation Organization's committee. Quote, this is a colonial enterprise that has nothing to do with Jewishness. The Jews were used as a tool under the concept of the promised land. Call it whatever you want. Everything has been made up. So again, this idea that this land is part of a Jewish land, again, he makes it very clear. It's been made up. So this is very radical language. And I think you can look at it two ways. One, as Skip has said, this has been a leadership that's been very ineffective for its people. Is he trying to sound more like Hamas because it's the only way to stay in power in a more radicalized Palestinian territory over the last decade? Or is it to stir some kind of aid from the United States? So you basically threaten an uprising, even if you don't know if you can make good on an uprising, but use language that is so intense and so fiery that in the past, if a Palestinian leader were to make this so public,
right,
Israel would be under a terror attack right now.
Right.
There'd be bombings going on. But because this leadership is weak, you got to wonder, do the people just kind of shrug their shoulders and try to move on? But is this a power grab, basically saying, give us more money or else?
It's kind of like the Day of Rage thing. They've lost they have lost any leverage that they had in the region because the other Arab countries have had it with them also. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. We talked about that on the broadcast last week. All right, Logan, what are we seeing online? And then we'll take a phone call as well.
Yeah, a lot of comments are coming in. Dana said, glad to see we're not flushing more money down the drain anymore. Thomas said, over the years, we've given them enough money. So a lot of people are kind of agreeing with this.
No one's saying
sentiment.
Give them more money?
Not that I see. Marie said, how about giving the money to Israel towards building anti-missile systems?
Well, they did. They have given money to Israel, billions of dollars to Israel, with an anti-missile system called Iron Dome that's actually quite successful. Let's go ahead and take a call.
We'll take a call. Let's go to Charles in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. You're on the air on Line 5.
Prettiest beaches in the world right there. World's most beautiful beaches, Fort Walton Beach in Panama City. Go ahead, Charles. You're on the air.
Yeah. Great. Thank you for that. And thank God for Donald Trump. I sure hope he sticks by his guns and does exactly what they say. Do not give them another dime. When you look at the square miles for the size of the Palestinian territory and the amount of dollars we've flooded them with no improvement whatsoever, why would we continue to do the same thing? Isn't that the definition of insanity?
Well, I mean, you look at it, right? I mean, I think you're correct. It should look like Dubai. At this point, for free. Dubai for free. I mean, this should be sterling buildings, unbelievable schools. Basically, like those countries that are oil rich, you basically just pay your citizens out of a government fund. They don't even work, and life moves on. You have to import workers. But instead, somehow they get, you know, this is just from the U.S., and we're the largest, but we're not the only country giving them money. So they're getting, $350 million plus direct aid from the U.S. You could rebuild the entire Palestinian Authority's West Bank. For that. I mean, and their populations are in the millions, not tens of millions, millions. So, again, there should be excellent schools, well-stocked reserves in the yep. supermarkets. People should have spending money. The streets should be clean. The garbage should be picked up. The cars should be shiny. I mean, the list goes on. And yet, they squander the money into their own personal bank accounts.
Yeah, you're not kidding. So we're going to talk
for radical activities and for terrorist activities as
well. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. Let me mention to everybody that we've got an email out today on a life case. We've got a brief that's being filed tomorrow. National Institute of Family and Life Advocates versus Becerra. He is the Attorney General of California. We are filing an amicus brief for Living Well Medical Clinics, Pregnancy Care Centers of the North Coast, and Confidence Pregnancy Centers. These are the National Institute of Family Advocacy case. Is a companion case of a series of cases that the court's dealing with on compelling pro-life groups to refer to abortions. We think that's wrong. We've got an email out on it today, but I'm showing you right now the copy of our brief that will be filed tomorrow. So your support of the ACLJ allows that not only to handle issues in the Middle East, but also defending life, this time at the Supreme Court of the United States. So again, your support of the ACLJ at aclj.org makes a gigantic difference in our ability to engage so many of these issues, and as I said, an issue right now at the Supreme Court of the United States. We're going to take more of your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulo reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online aclj.org.
Yes, everyone, taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So Mahmoud Abbas makes this statement in a two-hour speech. He says the Oslo Accords are dead. Blast the U.S. Expletive deleted your money. In other words, keep your expletive deleted money is what he's basically saying. I'm not going to repeat the expletive that Mahmoud Abbas gave, the devout leader of the Palestinian Authority. But there's a lot more at play here as well. And, Logan, you just got a good call that came in on Facebook.
A comment from Gary on Facebook said, so where are they going to get their money now?
So this is a good question. So I don't think the other Arab countries are going to be so quick to throw up $750 million when you look at the UNRWA and you look at the – so you got that, and then we have the situation with the direct aid. So it's about three-quarters of $1 billion, close to $1 billion. So I don't think it's going to come so quickly from the other Arab countries. Now, Jordan, you've traveled that region. What do you think of that?
No, they're not going to make up $355 million. That was in 2016. I'm sure they received close to that, if not more, but adjusted for inflation.
And you had the UNRWA money, too. It's three-quarters of a billion.
Right, that's $355 million plus another $355 million contributed to UNRWA from the U.S. That's not all the money that that agency has. That's just the U.S. money. So $350 million plus in direct aid to the Palestinians. Another $350 million to the refugee and relief organization that the UN runs for the Palestinians. And so you're talking about there over $700 million just from the U.S. That is not their total, but I don't think they can make up, even with other countries' funding. We're the number one. You start taking out the number one funder of both direct aid and subsidiary aid, and you have a serious problem in feeding your people, in keeping the roads working, and that is when it's the leaders who have the biggest problem, not the countries that surround it. The only thing I can imagine is that the Arab world is so afraid of the Palestinian community that is not basically kept on this welfare, if you will.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is, a welfare agency.
That's what they want.
That if you can't keep them on this welfare, then maybe you do have to keep shoving the money in because you're so concerned about what happens if not. But times have changed, you said. The biggest threat is not people throwing rocks or even suicide bombers anymore in the Middle East.
No.
It's nuclear weapons. It's a big
difference. Yeah, I mean, you got Iran as a threat. So does Russia and China run into the gap, skip for the Palestinian Authority? I don't see that.
I'm not sure they'll run into it with respect to money, but they may run into it with respect to diplomatic support. But even then, the reason they're doing that, it's not because they love the Palestinians. It's because they're trying to poke the eye of the United States. And I think that's they're going to find out that's probably not going to have much of an effect. And once they realize that, then they're not going to put a lot of effort into it.
We're talking about 2.5 million people. I mean, you know, think about the money. Think about the millions, hundreds of millions going in for 2.5 million people.
$750 million.
Just from us.
Yeah.
Just from the United States. They're getting money from
us. Almost $2 billion overall, right? Let's add that up, Will.
I mean, so again, if you just gave that out to the people, everybody would be living rich.
Yep.
But instead, this money, as Skip said, it disappears into accounts. It goes to fund terrorism. It funds radical activities all around the world.
Yep.
And it is corrupt. Also, the UN is corrupt. So how much of this money is making it to the actual people?
None.
That's what they should
Very
be questioning.
Little.
If their government is really receiving close to $1 billion directly from the United States only looking at U.S. funding, why are they not just writing a check to everybody, you know, summing that out? Hey, Mahmoud Abbas would be rich too. But he'd be richer, right? Or yep. Maybe not, because maybe he's taking $10 or $20 billion away into Swiss bank accounts. We don't know. There's no transparency. I think that's what you call on. You want our money? Show us your bank accounts. Show us where the money is going exactly. How is it being spent dollar for dollar? And wonder if they would like to show us that.
Yeah, they won't. Logan, let's go ahead and take a call or a comment.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Elaine, who's calling online too.
Hi, Elaine. Go ahead.
On the air.
Hi, Jay.
Hey.
Appreciate all you do.
Thanks.
I'm here in Maine. We're up to the double digits over here. Warming up. My comment is that our country's in debt, billions,
yep.
Right? Big dollars.
Yes.
So we're borrowing money
from the
and
Chinese.
Paying interest to give people who hate us to support them. What kind of insanity is that?
We're borrowing money from the Chinese so that we can give it to the Palestinian Authority, who turns around and say, we hate you because you recognize what is Israel's legitimate right to say that Jerusalem is its capital. I mean, think about you said it exactly correctly, Elaine, and that's exactly the problem. But this is the nonsense that's going on. I think the president wants to end the nonsense. So he's saying, listen, there's going to be negotiations. There's going to be a deal. Get negotiations on the table. get the parties to the table. Mahmoud Abbas saying, will not accept. I'm going to play this, number 11. This is Mahmoud Abbas in his speech.
The political negotiations should be under international mediation and not solely American mediation. Should I make it clear, we do not accept America as a mediator between us and Israel.
Oh, so the United States is not going to be the mediator in the deal.
Negotiations that don't exist.
Yeah, so negotiations that don't exist with parties that can't negotiate, especially the Palestinians, and they want international mediators. We had the quartet. Remember that one by Tony Blair? That didn't work out so well. But Skip, this is the ongoing nonsense that we get from the Palestinian Authority. They will never be satisfied. They will never recognize Israel, especially with Hamas as their partner. It is not going to happen.
That's right. Every time there's an opportunity that might open itself, they find something wrong with that opportunity. And because of that, they're never going to go into negotiations. Once you get into negotiations, you get into the point that you have to give up something. Negotiations is, I give you this to get something. So it's got to be give and take. They want to take. They do not give. The Israelis' frustration with talking to the Palestinians has been that the Israelis generally are negotiating with themselves. They'll say, okay, this is our position. The Palestinians say, no, we reject that. And they never give a counter position. So they're saying, okay, we'll just wait for the Israelis to give us some more. Well, and that's what's happened in the past. And the Israelis have said enough of that. And I think the president has said enough of that also.
This is where the nonsense is. And this is why we've got to fight back and not just accept this and say, oh, it's okay. But I think what's going to happen here, when the money gets cut off and Israel and Jerusalem's off the table, you know what they're going to do? Get to the table and negotiate. Because the rest of the Arab world is more concerned about Iran than they are about the Palestinian Authority and their 70-year plight, which has been a 70-year plight, being kept in servitude by their own leadership. And that, I mean, it's a bold statement to say, but it's the absolute positive truth. We have time for a quick call before the break here, Logan. You want to just hold off?
I think we probably should hold off.
Okay.
A lot of people are commenting. A lot of people are getting their comments in, but I don't think any of these are real. Quick answers. So here's one you can maybe answer from online. Nancy said, honestly asking, why isn't the U.S. given the money in the first place?
We gave money in the first place to start building, hopefully, stability in the region, prop up their economy, prop up their education system. But when the education teaching kill the Jews' bloods are going to run in the street, it's very difficult. But the idea, Skip, behind the money was to be a stability within the region.
Right, because I think that everybody recognized that you have two populations here who want the same territory. There's got to be some give and take here, and we were willing to come in and say, okay, let's calm everything down so they can talk and they can solve this and it'll be done. The problem is only one side was willing to talk. The other side just was stood fast the entire time, and every time there was a negotiation, every time there was an offer, they rejected it. So when you offer somebody 98% of what they want, and they refuse it, you know they're not serious.
All right, we want you to support the work of the ACLJ, and that includes this week, tomorrow, at the Supreme Court of the United States, filing an amicus brief, the case involving pro-life crisis pregnancy centers. So we're going to want you to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We're going to take more calls on this topic. We're joined by Wes Smith, and stay with Skip as well. So we've got a lot more to talk about, and take your calls at 800-684-3110.
That's right. If you don't get us on your local station, you can pick us up online right now live for another half hour. That's at aclj.org, facebook.com/jseculo, Twitter and Periscope at jseculo. You can find us broadcasting at all those locations. Later on, archived on the ACLJ app and the jseculo Live podcast. So again, you can get all of those and all that information at aclj.org.
Don't forget to support the work of the ACLJ. As I said, we've got an email going out today, back at the Supreme Court tomorrow on the pro-life cases, aclj.org. Take your calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
podcast. And we're talking about Mahmoud Abbas in this two-hour speech, blasting the Israelis for saying the Oslo Accords are dead, which have been dead for about 20 years, and also saying to the United States, keep your expletive-deleted money. So he doesn't want the U.S. money, and he also says he will not accept the U.S. to be a mediator. We're taking your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Skip, let me go to you on this first. I think this is a play to his base, although I think the populace, the people in the regular Palestinians that are not terrorists, which most of them aren't, want to just have food, jobs, and an economy that's growing. So this is, again, the corruption of the leadership.
I think you're right. I think they're doing this because they believe they have to say, they raise the rhetoric, they have to raise the temperature a little bit about this, especially in light of Hamas. There hasn't been a free election now in the Palestinian population for a number of years, and therefore all these officials are just carryovers in their office. They're no longer elected to that office, and I think there's a fear on the part of Fatah that if they aren't radical enough, that Hamas may come in and win the election on the West Bank. That would be catastrophic to them.
A friend of ours has called in, Chris Hinn, who was the former one of the former head executives of the Transportation Safety Administration and covered the Middle East. Chris, you sent a note to Jordan that you wanted to comment on the situation with Mahmoud Abbas.
Hey, Jay. First, you guys are doing an amazing job.
Thanks.
One of the things that I think the listeners need to know, Jay, is that back in the days when Yasser Arafat was in power, the U.S. government gave him a lot of money. What he did with that money is opened in Jericho a bunch of casinos. So no different today. There's just the corruption. I have family in Ramallah, my mom's side, and they would rather be under the Israeli rule and the authority than the Palestinians. And simply because their money is all wasted on corruption. Nothing goes to the people. And so what you're doing is absolutely important to be told the truth. And the fact of what the money from the U.S. is going.
You know, I remember actually, do you remember those? I'm talking to Jordan here. Do you remember that? I remember those casinos. They were large hotels, completely closed up now.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever really opened.
They're kind of like empty
shells.
But again, empty shells that were built, so the money was exchanging. And again, we were talking about Hezbollah and the money laundering and the sophistication level. That's a very sophisticated level. I think at the Palestinian level, not as sophisticated, but still. Allowing those major companies to come in, spending the money on buildings that people will never be able to come to, that no one is going to come to gamble because you're not in a safe environment and you're not a place where tourists are going to flock to. But those structures are there. And for major international hotel groups who were willing to take advantage of probably very good terms and let the money flow in coming from the government, in these tax structures they set up. But it is, I think what Chris said is that point that really only people living in those territories can make.
Yep.
And that's what he said about his own family. I think, Chris, to say that again to the people, that you have family that's in Ramallah who would rather not be living under this government's control.
Absolutely. For years they've been saying, we'd rather be under the Israeli control because there's rule and there's the law. Under the Palestinian, the PLO or the Palestinian Authority, there's no such a thing. So, for example, we had land. Quite a bit of land in the West Bank, my mom's family, and they actually confiscated to use it for their own use, and no one can do anything about it. Not even the Israeli government can go in there and get that land back to its rightful owners. So therefore, corruption is absolutely right to the top of Abu Mazen, which, Abbas himself.
Well, it's interesting because Mahmoud Abbas, as that's his other name, said he will not meet with the Israeli ambassador from the United States, David Freeman, not here, not outside the country, not in Amman, not in Washington. I will not meet this man. All they're doing is building up their straw man, and that is they're not going to negotiate. They never negotiate. So now we're starting to put our money where the mouth is. And our money says this. You want to take our money? You're going to go to the table. And you know what I think is going to happen? They're going to go to the table. We'll take your calls at 1-800. Thanks, Chris. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110 with this question. What do you think the government of the Palestinian Authority will do now if that almost $2 billion, $1.5 billion that's given out in aid were just cut off? What do you think would happen? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. We come back from the break. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. So Mahmoud Abbas, in a two-hour speech, tells, the Oslo Accords are dead, which have been dead for 20 years. Expletive deleted to the United States, what you can do with your money. And then he says he will not negotiate, will not accept the United States as a negotiating partner. That's all interesting. But the rest of the Arab world, by the way, is taking the United States' interests as leading the charge against Iran. So when I look at all of this, Colonel Smith, Wes Smith, our senior military analyst, I think of myself, I have been to this, we played this during the break with Renan Geesen. I've been to this movie before. Yeah. This is nothing new. This is the way they do it.
It is so familiar. Since 1993, when the Oslo Accords were signed, they keep getting killed over and over again, the Accords, not by Israel, not by the U.S., but by the Palestinian Authority. They say, we're an occupation without land. Well, Palestine has never been a state. Jerusalem has never been their capital, and they're not a country. But there's a reason why they're not a country, Jay, and that is because the two-state solution keeps being sabotaged, not by the U.S., not by Israel, but by the Palestinian Authority. And I think their victim mentality is beginning to wear thin.
Well, it's 70 years of victim mentality. I mean, again, it's nothing against the Palestinian people. No. We've been there. I've represented Palestinians. We have. But this is bordering on the absurd. Now, I'm going to play you what Mahmoud Abbas said yesterday at a PLO conference, Palestinian Liberation Organization conference, which tells you how absurd this entire matter is. Take a listen to what it said through a translator.
We will not accept whatever deals America offers us, nor will we accept its mediation after its crime against Al-Quds. We do, however, accept any international sponsorship for a political process to end the occupation and achieve peace. We do not accept being an authority without authority, nor an occupation that costs nothing for the occupier.
Let's break this down. We will not accept whatever deal America offers us. So they're going to start with, so whatever deal Trump offers, they're not accepting it.
Yeah, it's typical for the Palestinians. So you have to beg them somehow to come to the table. I think, it's
the president's time, not begging them anymore.
And I think you go to the Israelis, obviously, to make this call. You wouldn't want to do this unilaterally as the United States, but to make this call and say, is there going to be massive terror uprising for you? Are you going to face this threat if our funding is gone? If so, you could assess the words and make the decision that way. But this may be the time when there's not. That they've showed a lot of weakness. They're not allied with a major power anymore who's got the hands on the money. They're not allied with Iran. They're not like Hamas. They don't have the same kind of militant wing that they used to. I'm not sure that they have the people willing to go try and blow themselves up, and I'm not sure those people can even get across the border to carry out those attacks anymore because the security that's been put in force. So do you call them out and say, okay, you say you won't accept anything,
any deal,
anything we offer, it's already off the table. So here, starting tomorrow, zero funding. So the UN agency shuts down because they can't pay their people to even run it, and no one is going to come to the table to fund that. Because the Russian, the Chinese, like Skip said, they may diplomatically help. They don't humanitarianly help. They don't care about people. They care about the politics of the situation as it relates to their own country. So pull out all of our humanitarian aid. Let's see what happens to the – again, we're talking about a couple million people. We're not talking about 100 million people here.
Right.
We're talking about 2 million that if things get out of control, we can quickly get back under control.
So, Skip, what is your reaction to Mahmoud Abbas saying we will not accept whatever deal America offers us?
Well, that's just tough talk. He doesn't have any way to back that up. You know, he's in a situation of his own making. He's now paying the price for that, and he's not happy. Everyone, when he deals with the Europeans, for instance, he'll go up and make these demands. They're outlandish, and the Europeans keep pouring in money to support him because they have this idea of the poor Palestinians. They cannot get past the recognition that the Palestinians' problem is of their own making. And therefore, they're pouring in money for this. The United States has finally had a clear view of what the problem is, and it isn't the Israelis. And the Europeans are beginning to do that. There's little indications of Europeans may be seeing that, but it's going to take a while. And unless they pick up the tab or the Arab allies, and I think the Arab allies now are more concerned about cooperating with Israel against the Shiites than they are about what the Palestinians may or may not want. So I think they're in a very tight situation.
Wes, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, in Iran, the protest last week, they were protesting Iran's support of things going on in Palestine because they want the money for themselves. But behind the scenes, it's been reported that Egypt and Saudi Arabia are okay with the U.S. declaring Jerusalem as the capital. They cannot say that publicly, but they're okay with it. But the Palestinian Authority, they started out as a terrorist organization, and they are still directly linked to terror. It is this group that we give millions of dollars to. Since the Oslo Accords, we have given them $5.2 billion with nothing to show for it. But this same organization are the ones that pay terrorists who kill Israelis and Americans. And any Palestinian who's in an Israeli jail gets a monthly stipend from them.
Yeah, the family does. We borrow money from the Chinese to give it to the Palestinian Authority so they can give it to terrorists. Doesn't make sense to me. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We want your reaction to all of this. Let's go ahead and take another call.
Yep, let's go to Ryan in Phoenix. Thanks for holding, Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, you've been holding it for a while. We're going to send you our book, Unholy Alliance, so hang on the line when we're done. Go ahead.
All right, that's awesome. Hey, guys, since the beginning of time, every time money transfers, there's terms and conditions, okay? And the fact that they're offended that we, in essence, are going to borrow money on their behalf, we agree to interest to pay it back, and they won't meet our terms and conditions so that Trump can assign a return on investment to the equation, to me is insanity.
Well, look, I mean, they say, first, we will not accept whatever deals America offers us. Then they say, nor will we accept its mediation after its crimes against our goods, which I'm still trying to figure out what they're talking about on that one, Jordan.
Yeah, and again, this idea that they are, and the exact quote from the speech was, we do not accept being an authority without authority. And this is constantly what we've said, is that they have no authority to make these kind of statements. They cannot declare that they won't accept any deals when they have no power to accept the deal in the first place. So Mahmoud Abbas could not accept a deal for Palestinians. He could arguably not even accept a deal for the West Bank, the Palestinians in the West Bank. I'm not sure he even has that power, but he certainly doesn't have the power to accept a deal for all Palestinians in the territories like the West Bank and Gaza Strip. So this authority without authority, it's kind of pointing out their own problem, is that while all these other countries and actual states in the region, and including the United States, have authority to act diplomatically, to accept terms, to deny terms, they don't. They really are just receptive to cash, and that's the only way they stay in charge. It's the only way most of that land hasn't been probably consumed by other countries at this point, because you're, again, you're talking about only a couple million people. If it was easy as writing a check, the checks would have already worked right now. It's obviously not money, because you could pay out to all these families millions of dollars based off what we're sending in, and that's not going to be enough. And so that's because of the education that's gone in and the hatred level. And that will take generations to change.
All right, we're going to take more calls when we come back from the break at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. So if you have a call or a comment, let us know. We'll also take comments coming in via Facebook and Periscope. You want to go ahead and take one now?
We can take one. We need to use our money. This is from Christopher. He thinks we need to use our money for our homeless and our veterans. So
yep.
Kind of reapplying it here. Michael said, how long has the funding been going on?
So, Skip, the funding's been going on for how long? I mean, that's a good question. I mean, it goes back to the first, I think, back into maybe some of this may have gone even during the League of Nations. I'm not 100% sure of that. But, Skip, go ahead.
Well, I think the one that we're talking about now, since 1948, when the war broke out in 1948 between the Arabs and Israelis, the Israelis call it their war for independence. Okay. During that time, there were a lot of refugees from both on Jewish side and the Arab side. And we created this agency in the United Nations that has existed ever since. So we have been supporting this UNRWA agency, the UN agency, the Relief and Works Agency, which is solely created to help Palestinian refugees, not Jewish refugees, not refugees from the Indian subcontinent or anywhere else in the world, solely the Palestinians. And it's the only one that has remained that way. And it just sucks up money all the time. And the United States, because we're a benevolent country, has been footing a significant part of that bill since 1948.
And since 1994, when the Oslo Accords came into effect, $5.2 billion from the U.S. directly just since these accords were put in place.
And what we're getting for that is nothing. We've gotten nothing. When they've given them, offered them everything at the negotiating table. So now compel them to the negotiating table by cutting off the money giving to terrorists. I think it's a brilliant idea. We'll take your calls and comments. We come back at 1-800-684-3110. Got the last segment of the broadcast coming up. That means you can ask a question on this topic or anything else at 800-684-3110.
Not anything else. We'll get close. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Like you said, you can also get your comments in. I believe we actually have exclusive video still running coming up in the next break. Is that correct? Yep. All right. So if you're watching online, you're going to get an exclusive video just for you guys watching online. If you want to see that, log on over to ACLJ.org, Facebook, or Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow broadcasting live there right now. But once again, a couple lines are still open. 1-800-684-3110. 3110.
Don't forget, we're filing tomorrow at the Supreme Court of the United States our amicus brief in a pro-life case. Your support of the ACLJ, an email going on that today, makes a huge impact. ACLJ.org. Any amount you donate really helps us in all of this work, whether it's in Israel, whether it's the Supreme Court of the United States. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
So we got a brief going to the Supreme Court of the United States tomorrow on a pro-life crisis pregnancy center case of being compelled to violate their free speech rights by mandating that under California law that these crisis pregnancy centers refer for abortions. That brief, you're seeing it on Facebook and Periscope, you actually see it. That's what's being filed tomorrow. We'll talk more about those cases on the broadcast tomorrow, but a lot of developments there. We're talking about Mahmoud Abbas and his threats for the United States to keep your expletive deleted money. We'll just leave it at that. And we've got a lot of calls coming in, and this is our segment where we take the calls at 1-800-684-3110. You know, I need to say this, though, as this is Martin Luther King Celebration Day. Today's a national holiday. You know, a lot of these pro-life centers started, the precursor to all this, were the Pro-Life Civil Disobedience Acts back in the 1980s and in the 1990s. And I defended a lot of those. That actually, that technique of protest, while it was originated actually with Gandhi in India, it was made available or utilized in the United States by Dr. King in the pro-life movements, where they used to do the sit-ins at the lunch counter, sit-ins on the bus stations or at the buses themselves. So there's a long history. People sometimes forget that aspect of Dr. King, not just as it relates to civil rights, but the impact it had on civil disobedience as a method to obtain civil rights. And I've studied it extensively. In fact, Pam and I went to we were in Memphis recently, and we went to the historic site there, which is the old Lorraine Motel. It's now a museum, a Smithsonian Museum, which you see where Dr. King was the last day he was alive during the Memphis strikes that were going on, sanitation strikes, and the utilization of civil disobedience is discussed throughout that museum. So really, a lot of other social protest movements owe a lot to Dr. King in that regard. I just wanted to say that as today is a national holiday celebrating Dr. King. If you haven't read the letter from the Birmingham jail, let me encourage you. It should be required reading in every school. Well-written thesis, theologically based, talks about moral law, higher law. But anyways, I wanted to say that as we get ready to take questions here at the last segment.
All right. Let's go ahead and take some calls. Let's go in order of people who have been hold. Tim in North Carolina, thanks for holding my hold about a half hour. Appreciate it.
Hey, Tim.
Hey. Thanks for the great job you guys are doing.
Thanks.
My wife and I just came back from Israel, and we've been there 4 times. And the picture I wanted to paint for the listeners is the contrast from Israel to the Palestinian. We drove down to Jericho, and one side is all green and prosperous, and then you hit down by Jericho, and it's all bleak, and nothing's growing, and nothing's happening. And you guys point out that since 1948, they both started out with pretty much the same amount of money and pretty much the same amount of people. One has spent the money and invested in people, and one has invested the money only on terrorism.
Well, no, I mean, I think that the truth of that is that it's been I wouldn't say it's all the money, but they have skipped. They don't make any pretense about the fact that they give money to terrorists.
That's exactly right.
Part of their funding, yeah.
The other thing, the critical thing, is what the caller said, and that is, remember that the West Bank and the Gaza Strip were occupied by Arab armies for 18 years. You know, the Palestinians, if they wanted to have a state, they could have had a state then, but the Arabs themselves weren't concerned about the Palestinians, and they occupied the land. It's only in 1967 when Israel got all of it back, but during that 18-year interregnum, the Palestinian occupants in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank were also put in camps by their fellow Arabs.
Yeah, because the neighbors didn't want them as into the, they didn't, in other words, the Jordanians didn't say, come and just assimilate into our country. That's not what the Jordanians wanted, because the Palestinians had actually, Palestinian predecessors to the PLO had killed the current king Abdullah's grandfather.
Yes,
was killed by terrorists, and this is where it was arising out of. So this is, again, it's not the people of Palestine. They mostly want peace. It's the leadership that's been so corrupt, Wes.
It is corrupt, and it's not for lack of resources. Since 1947, they have had tremendous resources that they have squandered, and part of what is their downfall, even to this very moment, Jay, is their subtle and sometimes not so subtle commitment to violence.
Yep.
And the Arab nations are tired of that. The Western world's tired of that.
All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call, Logan.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Joanne on line two in Cleveland. You're on the air.
Hi, Joanne. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Like I always say, the most informative hour of my day.
Well, great.
But I'm old enough to remember back in the 90s when Ehud Barak and Bill Clinton offered Yasser Arafat the moon, and he said no. It's a permanent victimhood and a permanent sponging off of all the other countries of the world that will give them every dime they want. It's all about the money.
Yes, and so that's when you go right down to it, we're talking about close to a couple billion dollars a year for not including the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, 2.5 million people, couple billion dollars a year. Do the math on your own. It'd be very easy for everybody to have a very nice life. Everyone.
Yeah.
To have an extremely nice, luxurious lifestyle in the territory that they're provided, even without investing in agriculture, because you could import it. You could live like the Gulf states off this kind of money because it's such a small population center. Instead, squandered. Squandered into terrorism, squandered into personal bank accounts. And these leaders act like they are martyrs. They didn't live like martyrs. Their families sure didn't live like martyrs. They used the poor in their communities to carry out the acts of terrorism because they pay the families. And if you think about the amount of money that they were taking in and what they actually measured life at, $20,000 or $30,000, and these are people, individuals taking in billions a year, you understand how they have been manipulating their own populations, probably to an extent greater than any other in history, where you've had this kind of manipulation of one people group for this long period of a time.
All right, let's go ahead and take some calls.
All right, Marlene's calling Arizona. You're on the air.
Hi, Marlene.
Hi, guys. I love you. My comment is, I don't think that we should give them any more money whatsoever. And I was wondering why we give so much money to the UN. Why can't we go down to the next?
Well, you're engaging in the UN because it's an international body, and we try to engage the UN on a regular basis for our causes. Is the UN system corrupt? Yes. Is the Palestinian Authority system corrupt? Yes. But you can't ignore and you can't exit yourself out of international tribunals because, Wes, in your military experience, you've got to be able to engage those tribunals. You can't just not do it.
Right, right. It's part of our diplomatic and political power. However, last week, Nikki Haley announced that we are cutting $250 million of our support to the United Nations,
yep,
which is an effort to try and
I think that's exactly what that is.
Yeah.
All right, let's try to grab the last call here if we can.
All right, Grace in Georgia, you're on the air.
Hey, Grace, go ahead.
I just wanted to know the significance of our president. I forgot my question, but basically I want to know what the significance is of Jerusalem being the capital city of Israel. And I'm happy about it.
Yeah, well, Jerusalem is the eternal capital of the state of Israel. But here's what's most important. Under international law, the sovereign nation can decide that within its territories, within its borders, what it designates as a capital. And Skip, that's all Israel did. They, in 1948, said Jerusalem is our capital, as it had been for 3,000 years.
Absolutely. And as a sovereign state, they had the absolute right. And no other sovereign state can do anything about. They can complain. They can make comments. But they cannot remove that right from Israel.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We got, as I said, we're filing a brief at the Supreme Court tomorrow on pro-life case. Your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. We will be sending out an email on that. Actually, sent out one this morning. There'll be more going out this afternoon. You should be getting our emails as well and engaging with us on multiple platforms.
That's right. You can find out everything you need on ACLJ.org, but directly Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, NJ Seculo, ACLJ, Jordan Seculo, Logan Seculo, however you get the content. You can find all of it at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, ACLJ.